Aaron Campbell.
Hey, how's it going, Dan Douglas?
I'm doing very good. Very good, sir.
Yeah. Are you enjoying the hot weather of
the
summer?
Oh, yeah. It's hot. Yeah. It's hot.
Yeah, it's dripping hot.
Swelteringly.
Yes.
Muggy.
It's very muggy. As they say in Japanese, mushi atsui.
All right. That's enough. That's enough weather talk. What are we really talking about?
Oh, I think we're talking about forgiveness, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Yes. I think it's time that you start forgiving me.
Okay, we'll get to that later.
All right.
Are you quick to forgive?
Yes, I think I'm fairly quick to forgive. I think it makes me feel better to forgive.
So it's all about you.
It's all about me, man. It's forgiveness is all about me. It's a very selfish.
You're a hedonic, a hedonist forgiver.
But it's true. It does make you feel better.
Yeah.
It does make you feel better.
And that's why you should do it, right?
The act of forgiving.
Is that your guiding moral compass?
What? So if it feels good, do it?
Do it.
That's what I live my life by, Dan.
You sound like a devil worshiper.
Well, no, but that quote by Nelson Mandela,
right?
Is
yeah,
a good
that's a
one.
That's a great one. It,
you know, about hatred is like drinking poison, and how to finish it off for me, expecting it to kill others, or how does it go? Can you remember?
It goes. Let me think here.
I don't know it.
It's
in the story. Look it up in the story.
Forgiveness
it's
is
like drinking poison.
Like a box of chocolates.
No, that's Forrest Gump.
That's Forrest Gump.
That's Forrest Gump. He and Nelson Mandela were quite a bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, forgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get hurt.
Yeah, right? And expecting it to kill your enemies or waiting for it to kill your enemies or something like that. Right?
I think you just ruined it. I forgive you.
Okay. I forgive myself. Hey, self-forgiveness is important, too.
That's easy.
Yeah. It's not that easy.
That's easy. Hatred is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies.
That's right. Hoping it will kill your enemies. And, of course, that would never happen.
Yeah.
So forgiveness is the antidote to that poison.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mandela, I mean, I was reading a little bit about him recently and and what he went through in prison.
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean,
you know, they really feared him even in prison.
Even in prison.
I mean, he immediately started organizing the prisoners and you know, protesting the conditions and you know, trying to keep alive his fight against apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the guards, I think he, you know, most of them treated him really badly.
Uh-huh.
And I think once they made him dig a grave.
Oh, really?
And then they, I think they made him think they were going to shoot him in the grave.
Uh-huh.
And then these two guards urinated on him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were just really trying to break him down, humiliate him,
right.
Break his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And they never could.
Yeah.
Until the point where the government was negotiating with a man in prison.
Right.
Realizing that the end was near and trying to work out some deal. And, I mean, that was, I was reading about how, you know, he's famous for forgiving the apartheid government that, you know, had been oppressing black people and, how it wasn't just purely, like a spiritual decision. He was a very practical man, and he realized that was the way forward for South Africa,
right.
Was through forgiveness, and that, you know, for one, reconciliation was necessary to avoid violence, and for two, for Africa to succeed economically, they needed the apartheid government. There were a lot of, you know, people there that were necessary for the, you know, the South African economy and to run the bureaucracy.
Sure.
And so, you know, it really was like a tactical strategic decision that he made.
Very politically astute.
But not an easy decision.
Sure.
You know, there were a lot of people that wanted vengeance.
Yes. Yeah, they wanted revenge.
Yeah.
On the government. Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that would like to take revenge on the man who invented the pop-up. the annoying, endlessly annoying pop-up that ruins the internet experience.
I think it's so funny that people are so upset that they're sending him death threats.
Pop-up, the poor guy. Well, yeah, I mean, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Zuckerman, we forgive you.
Yeah, we forgive you. We've actually experimented with pop-ups on our website, have we not? Maybe we must have in the past at some point.
I don't think so.
But I've never been a big fan of pop-ups.
I think you were principally against it.
Yeah, I don't like pop-ups.
I don't think we've ever done that.
Really? We must have done one or two at some point.
I don't think so. If we did, it wasn't in the sense that Zuckerman, like a pop-up advertisement.
No, it wasn't an advertisement. But yeah, they're pretty annoying.
But yeah, I mean, it was interesting that he was just looking for a solution to a problem, and he ended up creating this monster.
Yeah. I think a lot of problems in the world start out with, you know, good intentions.
Yeah, right.
But then switch to other things, or people find uses for what you've created that are not so good. I'm sure Albert Einstein, had a few issues with that.
But you know, it's what do you mean?
Well, with the atomic, you know, his research into the, you know, atomic.
But yeah, it's interesting that he feels bad about the pop-up ad, but he really feels that enabling advertising to piggyback on top of free content was one of the worst things that he did helped do.
Right.
Or he helped enable that through his, you know, pop-up and finding ways to appease advertisers.
But I thought it was also very interesting that had that not happened, the internet might be much different than it is now, in a way that you would have to pay for content for everything and in different ways. I mean, advertising allows us to get free content without paying for it.
Yeah, but you know, that's the way TV works too. So I'm not so sure he's right that the internet would crumble.
No, I don't think it would. I think it would just be far different than it is now. We'd have to pay for our content.
Well, no, I mean, I feel that even without him, advertising would find a way. They would find solutions because there's so much money in it.
Yeah.
It just like, you know, they can see the model. The model is TV, and that's what they're following.
Right.
But though, then again, we don't, you know, movies aren't funded by advertising.
Or, right. You know, but a lot of news media is.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to keep your news organization going, you've got to attract viewers. And in order to attract viewers, you have to sometimes make things a little more exciting than they actually are.
Right.
To get the views and keep the revenue coming in.
Well, I mean, regardless of what your model is, whether you're funding through advertising or funding through interest, I think news companies, they're always going to be pandering to what they think people want.
Right.
Which is, you know, drama and sensationalism.
Sure. But yeah. But anyway, that's kind of a, I don't know. It's sort of humorous in a way, but the story that follows is not so humorous.
Yeah, it's such a heavy story that I kind of felt like we needed that Zuckerman story.
Yeah, balance the lesson a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really not sure how I feel. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, you know, how wonderful that he was able to forgive this man, or you know, we should all aspire to be more forgiving, but.
Yeah. But would you be able to do that?
Well, I mean, regardless of whether you would or you wouldn't, I mean, is that the right thing to do?
Is it the right thing to do?
Yeah. I mean, is it, you know, the right thing for him as like a grieving father?
Right.
And is it the right thing to offer that compassion to someone that evil?
Yeah. I mean, there are different ways of looking at that. I mean, maybe the guy's not evil. He's just done many evil things. I mean, I think that's how he looked at it. What's his name?
Hector Black. Yeah.
I think that's how he looked at it. Remember when he looked into the guy's eyes, he saw like someone full of suffering.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like I hate what you have done with all of my heart.
Yeah.
But I forgive you.
Yeah.
And I think if we are able to separate the actions from the actual being on the inside, maybe that kind of forgiveness is possible. But,
Yeah, but I mean, does that make the world a better place?
Well, I was thinking about it. Let's say that everyone forgave people for all the evil actions that they've taken. If you were truly of evil intent, then you would logically come to the conclusion, well, it doesn't matter what I do because everyone's going to forgive me anyway. So I'll just go and rape and pillage and steal and, you know, cause havoc and kill people because I'll just be forgiven. So yeah, it doesn't really work, does it?
Well, yeah. I mean, then you could project forward to, you know, what good is forgiveness beyond, you know, perhaps forgiving healing the soul of the forgiver who doesn't have to carry this hatred.
Right. But that's a big thing for the person that's carrying the hatred.
Yeah.
And that's you and me and whoever is, you know, suffering from it. If someone killed my daughter in the same way that his daughter died, I would just be full of tremendous negativity and grief and sorrow and everything else. And if I found that forgiveness was a way out of that, I might choose that to help me. And if it helped the other guy, even better.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if that's something that, you know, most people can make that choice, that maybe it's not a choice. You know, actually Hector Black says it wasn't a choice for him.
What wasn't a choice?
Forgiveness. He says, I know people think I'm a fool, but, you know, I had no choice but to forgive.
Because the alternative would mean...
Well, we don't know if because he was so in such a dark place that was the only way to escape, or if he felt, a spiritual imperative for... Uh-huh. Whatever his concept of God was. It's not really clear, but I mean, if you take him at his word that it wasn't a choice, then, you know, perhaps the same thing, the ability to not forgive.
Yeah.
It's not really a choice for someone who is, you know, full of rage.
Right. But on a very simple level, it just seems, you know, living in a harmonious, peaceful society seems impossible without forgiveness to me. I mean, like that just seems, if we want to move in that direction, we've got to teach forgiveness and uphold it as a great thing. I just, on a simple level, I mean, obviously it's more complex than that, but I don't know. I mean, how do you live in a world of peace if people don't forgive? They just carry around all this negativity towards others.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the thing with the Hector Black story, why it causes a lot of controversy. When I first heard about this story in this podcast.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked, actually, when I heard it.
You know, and you look in the comments section, and man, it's a war zone.
Oh, I can imagine.
People
like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, why would you?
And other people thinking, oh, you know, this because is so wonderful. But other people saying, you know, what?
That's pretty strange because he actually befriended the guy, right? They have a communication. They have a relationship now. And this is the guy that murdered your own daughter.
Yeah.
So that is quite far out.
And in the beginning, you know, a lot of their communication was about what really happened. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's very dark what he did to the daughter.
And those details are not in the story, right?
There are. We'll link to it, and if anybody wants to hear the actual story, it's quite dark, and you know that Hector Black didn't know the extent of what he had done to his. I mean, he knew that his daughter had been murdered,
right?
But after he forgave him and started a relationship with Ivan, he wanted the details.
Yeah.
And so Ivan had to put all these dark details about what he actually did to his daughter.
Right.
And then there, you know, that was kind of the beginning of their relationship. And then it evolved past that. And he said now, you know, they just write each other about trivial things like what books they're reading or what's happening in the garden just. Yeah, it's hard to imagine. Yeah, I mean, and there, you know, it's really going beyond this real extreme. It's not just like, okay, I forgive you, and
let's move on with our lives.
I never want to have anything to do with you, but I forgive you.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I forgive you, and I'm going to build a relationship with you.
Wow, that's far out.
I wonder what his daughter would think of that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, what would you think of that?
If I were...
of course, you know, you're dead, but imagine. if you had been murdered and then you were able to look down upon your father or your mother, you know, building this friendship and writing about, oh, today I was gardening.
Well, okay. I know what I'd feel about that. I mean, I think if it helped my parents deal with the loss and it helped them move on.
But what if I mean,
then
the,
I would
but
feel,
what if the,
I would feel
what,
happy
okay,
about
great.
That,
but
yeah.
What if the choices are, you know, they move on and they have no relationship or right. They move on and they become buddies.
I wouldn't judge. I would just say that's a little weird. Guys are creeping me out, but whatever, you know, it's your life. You're right. That's it's extraneous. It's not necessary, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe in his case it was.
Yeah, maybe
know.
It was the only way.
It's hard to imagine. But something similar took place with the American that was tortured or held prisoner in a prisoner of war in Thailand.
Yeah,
and later developed
British,
a relationship.
British.
Oh, he was British.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Lomax.
Lomax, right. And he developed a relationship with his captor, who I assume tortured him as well.
He participated in the torture.
And then later, you know, developed a relationship with him.
That I can understand. I can understand forgiving, like,
somebody
during wartime, and you're still alive.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen to, like, your flesh and blood.
Right.
I can't imagine, you know, if somebody were to kill my child.
Oh, right.
Like, I don't know. Maybe I hope that I could, you know, if, you know, actually, I don't know that I hope that I could forgive them. I don't know. Like, it just seems kind of, part of me that feels is kind of meaningless.
Right.
It's like, you know, who are you to forgive? Okay, that's great if it heals you, but it's as if you're like doing something for this tortured soul. And like, are you really?
Yeah.
By saying, you know, you're forgiven.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I hope we never find that out.
But yeah, it's a wild story. And the one about Lomax and Nagase, it's much easier to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
But yeah, that's very interesting that Lomax, on the other extreme, he held on to this rage for almost 50 years. So, I mean, he must have been in his 70s when he's flying around the world thinking, I'm going to murder this guy.
Yeah.
He's like a 70-year-old man in
his
70s.
He's hunting him down, right?
Yeah,
that's another pretty amazing story.
Yeah. And then it all changed when, I guess, he felt that sincerity and that humility.
Yeah.
And, I guess he was able to recognize the humanity and what he had been thinking of as a monster for the past 50 years.
Yeah.
And, and Nagase, I would like to learn more about his life. It sounds like he did a lot of good things, protesting war. And, I think he faced I read that he faced a lot of backlash in Japan for, you know, trying to publicize what he felt Japan had done wrong.
Oh,
in the war.
I see. Cause he was an activist.
He was really sticking his neck out and probably getting a lot of backlash from conservatives that didn't want to.
Sure. People in power,
you know, people who didn't want to face up to,
right.
To the,
what had actually happened.
Yeah.
These camps. Yeah. Forgiveness. It's okay, Dan. I forgive you.
You don't have any right to forgive nothing.
I forgive you for all that you've done. All the
people in glass houses don't get to forgive. That's a mixed metaphor. Don't practice that one, people. People in glass houses. Where does it go? People in glass houses can't throw stones?
Yeah. Or you can't throw stones or something
right.
like that. Yeah.
Right. Well, they can't forgive either. Buddy.
Oh, yes, they can.
Until
I forgive you, Dan.
Look
don't
deep
just,
into your.
You should accept my forgiveness.
Dark,
for
rotting
your own well-being.
Thank you. I feel much better.
I'm sure you do.
All right. Until next time.
Okay, man. See you later.
Adios.